We're going to take a little detour, if you will. I believe it's being led by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about forsake not the assembling together. Forsake not the assembling together. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin with verse 19. Thank you, Lord God, forsake not the assembling together. Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Beginning with verse 19. Glory be to God. And it reads, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's take this apart a little bit. Go back to verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, and what's implied in there is full confidence. Confidence is freedom and absence of fear. You have full confidence, freedom, and absence of fear to do what? To enter into the holy places, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus, by the power and the virtue of the blood of Jesus is how we now can enter into that holy of holies. Verse 20, by the new. New means fresh. And in this case, the new way was a freshly slaughtered sacrifice. Well, when they slaughtered the animals, that was the old way. And didn't bring you, then couldn't get you into the Holy of Holies. But the new way, the new flesh, freshly slaughtered sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, by the new and living way, not the dying way that the animals, but the living, that's something Jesus died, but he lived. So he's a living way that he opened for us. The word open means he initiated, he inaugurated, he dedicated for us through the curtain. What is the curtain? His flesh. So when they tore his flesh, when they ripped apart his flesh, he tore the veil and opened the way for us to go up into the Holy of Holies. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 21, and since we have a great, noble, and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, and he most certainly does. With all of that happening in verse 19, all of that verse 20, all of verse 21, let us draw near verse 22. Of course we should. He's done all that. Draw near means let us come forward. Let us approach. Hold on, just approach? No, with a true, real, genuine, honest, sincere heart. True, honest, sincere, genuine, and real heart. In full assurance. Full means complete and absolute assurance Assurance is confidence and conviction of faith. I mean, and why wouldn't he say all of those words, full and assurance and heart, a true heart and full assurance of faith? Because he's done all that in verse 19, 20, and 21. He's made the way. His flesh was torn. His blood was shed. He said, man, all that's going on. Let us draw near with full, absolute, complete, unshakable assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil, guilty, bad, worthless, wicked conscience. Thank you, Lord. And our bodies washed and cleansed with pure water. All that going on. Let us draw near by faith. Faith, someone defined this, one commentator, by the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. That's what faith is. Leaning of the entire personality on his power, his goodness, his mercy, sovereignty. And we're to draw near because we understand that our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil, guilty, bad, worthless, wicked conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. After all that's going on, verse 23, let us hold fast. Hold fast and let us seize. Let us lay hold of. Let us get a hold of and retain possession of the confession of our hope. I guess so. Without wavering, without bending, being firm, unmoved in your hope. Why? Because he who promised, who announces, who proclaims is faithful. He is sure. He is trustworthy. He's reliable. I said he's sure. He's trustworthy. He's reliable to what? To his promises. His announcements, his proclamations. In summary, he is reliable to bring forth his word. In verse 24, let us consider. With all of that going on, verse 21, 19, 21, 22, 23, then let us consider. Consider means to carefully give attention to take note of, to give continuous care. To watch over how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us consider carefully, give attention to, take note of, give continuous care to watch over how to stir up, stimulate, excite, and provoke one another to good works. The idea is that Christians or believers are to endeavor to arouse and excite each other to exhibit and put on display love and good works. That's what we're to do to and for one another. You say excite one another to love. Love is goodwill. And esteem. Goodwill and esteem. Goodwill meaning doing that which is kind, favorable, benevolent, generous, caring and supporting one another. And esteem is to do that which is valuable to them so that you appreciate them, to prize them, to regard them, to honor them, to respect them. Not neglecting, verse 25, to meet together. Neglect means to abandon, to desert, to walk away from, to walk out on our duty. The word carries with it the idea of to let down in one's attendance. To meet together. To meet together. A gathering together. An assembly. I like one has a complete collection, because we're not complete when only pieces are here. As is the habit, the manner, the custom, the pattern, the routine, the norm of some. And let me be honest with you, Word of Life, this majority. Overwhelming majority. I may be even more frank, it's in the high 90s, like 98% are disobeying this command. As is the norm. It's the norm for 98% of Word of Life to miss either both days of the week, at least one. It's a custom, it's a pattern, it's a routine. It says instead, we have to encourage one another all the more. He's telling us to come here more. We're coming less, especially over the last 2 years. All the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. The word encourage one another has three meanings. I'm going to put all three of them in there. It means one, to call to one another, to entreat one another, to beseech one another, to beg one another. It means to admonish, the second meaning, to admonish, to warn, to rebuke or exhort. We get those in our little after fellowships. Where someone may say something, you get a chance to rebuke or exhort or warn. The third meaning, to cheer, encourage, to comfort. Encourage carries all of that, and he said we do all of that all the more faithfully as we see the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, returning. I don't think we realize that the Lord has given us this next segment here in this sermon. Ministerial assignments. Ministerial assignments are assignments that are given by God to be carried out by every believer, bar none. You read these verses, but I don't know if we picked up the assignments. Now, when I talk about ministerial, I'm not talking about formal minister. I'm talking about minister as to serve. In other words, assignments that are given by God so that you can minister to one another, serve one another. Let's go back to verse 24. There are three of them, three assignments. Let us consider carefully. Give attention to, take note of, give continuous care to, watch over how to, assignment number one, stir up one another to love and good works. That's the first assignment. Stir up again means to stimulate and incite, provoke and excite. The idea again is that Christians / believers are to endeavor to arouse or excite each other to the exhibition of love and good works. Good works are helpful deeds and noble activities. We are to excite, incite, provoke, encourage one another to love and good works. We do that by being around one another. That's assignment number one. Because since that's verse 24, you can't do verse 24 if you're neglecting to meet together. You're not around. Because notice that he says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting. Look at the connection. Do you see that connection? He's saying, do this, but instead, don't do this, not neglect. Be around to encourage one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit, the manner, the custom of some. Here's a second, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another. Calling to one another. Begging one another. Entreating one another. Admonishing and warning, rebuking one another. Cheering, encouraging, and comforting one another. All the more. Not only are we commanded to come to church even regularly, he said come even more. as it gets closer to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, he says, come more. Yes. We're coming less. Here's a comment on this. Believers are exhorted not to let down in their attendance upon these meetings or abandon them. They are, on the other hand, to exhort each other to continued attendance, and in view of the fact of the approach of the time when the Lord would come, is coming near, meaning that we are to do this in view of the fact that the Lord commanded, and one, he's going to return. You can't, on the other hand, exhort each other to continued attendance if you're not here in the beginning. Another comment, the Apostle Paul intimates that all the godly ought by all means possible to exert themselves in the work of gathering together with other believers. I'm going to read that again. We're nowhere near that. All the godly ought by all means possible to exert themselves in the work of gathering together with other believers. For we are called by the Lord on this condition, that everyone should strive to lead others to the truth. You have a truth maybe they don't have yet. To restore the wandering to the right way. Do Christians wander? They sure do. You can be the one to bring them to the right way. To extend a helping hand to the fallen. Do we fall down? But we get up. We ought to bestow much labor on those who are of the flock of Christ with great diligence, and exhort the brethren whom God has joined to us. This is not a joke. But we think it is. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning with verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Verse 1. Now therefore concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant, uninformed. Look at verse 4. Concerning these spiritual gifts, verse 4. Now there are variety of gifts, verse 5, varieties of service, verse 6, varieties of activities. Spiritual gifts include varieties of gifts, services, and activities. Verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So the gifts, the service, and the activities that's been given to the church is for the common good, to be used for everyone. Question. When do you think these gifts mentioned above are probably going to be used the most? We come together. Because when you're off on your, when you go home, you're in your own life. You got cousins, aunties, uncles to deal with. You got brothers and sisters, you got your job. You're off on your own life. These gifts are for the body when we come together. Now, I'm not saying you can't use it on a phone call, but he's talking about when we're together. Twelve all the way down to verse 31 talks about the body. We're going to go through all that. You know, we're one body. To assist one another, to be with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse So when you go through those gifts, you see the gift of teaching, the gift of prophecy, the gift of service. When you're going to use those gifts? In this time here. You're not going to be teaching nobody when they're gone off to their house and you're over here. Maybe a phone call here and there. Someone here. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave to what? Who did he give it to? The church. He gave, what's implied, to the church. What did he give to the church? The apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teaching shepherds. He gave to the church. What's the reason? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. When and where do you think the equipping of the saints takes place? Thank you. How are you going to get equipped for the ministry if you're not here? That takes place here. How then is the body built up? It's built up because you're equipped to do the ministry, to build up. If the ministry, if you're not being equipped, you can't build up each other. The equipping takes place here. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. The equipping is to lead to us attaining to the unity of the faith. Now the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly and makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You can't do that if verse 12 is not happening. It starts with equipping. But verse 11, it starts with God equipping and providing, teaching pastors who then go about to equip the saints. And then those saints can fulfill verse 16. With each part is working properly, making the body grow. Here's a trap question. I'm just being honest with you. Here's a trap question. There's an answer that's not going to be good. The answer's going to sound good, but you just trapped yourself. But I'm going to ask it anyway. Why do we attend church? You say, well, I know the answers. To worship, praise, and glorify God with fellow believers in corporate worship. Because we're commanded to do so. Second reason. Right? Because it's how we're fed. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because this is how we learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because we're here, and the two things we just learned today, to serve the body and to be equipped for the work of the ministry. You say, why is that a trap question? Because if you name those reasons, then my next question is are those reasons only good on Sunday? They don't work on Wednesday? Those reasons are no longer valid, they're not valid on Wednesday? And for those who barely come on Sunday and Wednesday, they're just not good at all. There needs to be inventory. That's why it's a trap question. Like, boots. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, but they, yeah, no, quick, no, but to learn, so they're not good on Wednesday. Well, yeah, they're good on, what? Why aren't you here? Oh, man, come on, lighten up. I didn't give the command. I didn't give the assignments of exhorting and encouraging one another. He did. You gotta ask yourself, are those reasons only good for one day a week, or are they only good for no days of the week? Once a month? Also, is the Hebrews command only good for one day of the week? But on Wednesday, he relaxes the commands to not forsake the assembly. There are 52 weeks in the year. We meet twice a week. That's 104 meetings that we do. 98% of Word of Life is probably attending 50%, especially in the last 2 years. That means there are 52 meetings you're not in church. And that's if you come once, that's if you come once a week. Some of us are coming once a month. Once a month, that's 12 times. We treat our jobs as if Hebrews 10:25 says, and forsake not the assembling together on your job. Because we're at our jobs. We're at our jobs. We'll be there first before we come here. If we missed our job, if we were as absent on our jobs for the frivolous reasons that we're missing church here, you'd be fired. You wouldn't have a job. And you know that's true, if you're honest with yourself. Is it legitimate reasons? Sure, every once in a while, sure. Fella, son, Avion got COVID, and he's struggling with it. He not feeling well. Legitimate reason. But you and I both know, if you're honest before God in your heart, you are not missing for legitimate reasons. Some of you, to be honest with you, haven't seen you on Wednesday in like 10 years on Wednesday. I have here in my notes, we care more about a job and how a human being evaluates and views us more than we care about fellowshipping with the saints and how God the Father evaluates and views us. I can't miss my job because I'm going to get a bad write-up. If I need to go to another job, I'm going to get a bad, recommendation. That's not the word, but get a bad recommendation. Can't have it in my file. But yet in heaven, in your file. When it comes to the Lord telling us to attend church, we pay our Heavenly Father no attention. And it shows by our actions. We pay Him no attention. The old folks used to call it, we pay them no never mind. That's exactly how we're treating God. We're polite about it, though. When the Lord says to us, would you like to go to church this evening? As my wife would say, we reply, no, thank you, please. No, thank you, please. And the reason we give, I'm too tired. I've had a hard day. Had a long day. Had a long day yesterday. So I'm too tired today. How tired was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Was he broke down? Was he feeling mighty low? If I can use my Oprah Winfrey on the color purple, I was feeling mighty low when CD came into the store. I was feeling mighty bad. I was feeling mighty low. Was not Jesus feeling mighty bad? Was not feeling mighty low in his humanity? We know he was because an angel from heaven had to come down and strengthen him to get through the rest of that prayer. You tired so much. We drove 40 minutes, at least 40, maybe more, depending on how good traffic was, from our house to the east side of Detroit, to Word of Faith. Did it for years. And one of those years, I worked at Word of Faith. So on Wednesday, I had to drive the 40, 45 minutes there, drive the 40, 45 minutes back, and then drive back on Wednesday, 40, 45 minutes, and drive back. And that for over a year. I miss my grandson's christening to be here, because I know I'm supposed to be here. Now, I was there at his birth, and I'm going to get out to legitimate reasons. If it's a momentous family occasion, yes, momentous, not just some family reunion that usually happens over 3 days. Go on Saturday, here on Sunday. So now it's at a momentous occasion, my grandson's birth, my oldest daughter's first child's birth. Then I kind of get her and help her get acclimated to life and miss another one. So because of that, I felt I owed it to you all to be here and miss his christening. I miss Brianna's games, not sitting in the stands. I'm the head coach of my daughter's team. Not somebody just going to see a family member or a cousin or a friend play basketball. I'm the head coach of my daughter's team. And it was a run of us making history in that AAU team. They had never gone that far in the history of the state, of that team. And I'm here. Glad to be here. A little sad I couldn't be there. But I understand my priorities are. I know who's my Lord. I missed her game. It was a game that brought them to qualify for the Nationals. He was tired too.
Yes, he was.
He was broken too. He was so much pressure that the blood, his sweat was coming out like blood. It's tripped me out that you have a hard day or a long day or you're sad or this and the other and you don't come to church. That tripped me out. Because that made me think, oh, maybe Psalm 23 for you is just for funerals. Because the word says that the shepherd, if you're born again, he's your shepherd. He leads you beside still water that he refreshes your souls. You ought to come here is the first place you ought to come to if you really believe that. In Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. There goes your hard day. He said, got a hard day? Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest means I will ease and relieve and refresh your soul. That's what he promises. If we have a hard day, if we're feeling mighty low, if we're run down, we need to have it here, symbolically speaking, put on our best track shoes and sprint to the church house, the house of the Lord, without any hesitation. Because I know I will be refreshed when I'm in the presence of the Lord. I know I'm going to be refreshed when I'm in the presence of his saints. That's why he said, keep your eye on Jesus. Think about him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Keep thinking of him. When you feel in some type of way, keep thinking of him. And keep thinking of the purpose here. First of all, you're commanded. It's not a suggestion. And second of all, you've been given at least two ministries. One to exert and encourage and exhort one another to love and good works, to lift up one another. And by the way, it's not about numbers. It's not about trying to get numbers. That had nothing to do with it. It's about being faithful to a God who is your Father. To bring him glory. That's what it's about. Being faithful to him. It has nothing to do with me. And quiet as it's kept, it has nothing to do with you. Everything on him. Not about you. Not about me. All about him. And he says, do that because I told you. And secondly, I've given you two assignments at least to help one another. See, you third. It's God, then the saints, and then you. Yeah, you get benefit too. You get to be equipped, you get to grow. But I'm telling you to come on. Because I got work for you to do amongst my body, amongst my children. Three main hindrances we sort of hit on them that we usually hit. The first hindrance or the first reason why we don't come is usually us. Feelings, emotion, this, that, reasonings, us. Second big reason is family. We put us before God. Second, we put family before God. Well, you know, I have this, I got this going on, we got this picnic, we got this, that, and the other. So, obviously, I gotta go. I mean, obviously. No, it's not obviously. He didn't relax the command for something as being with family. If it's a momentous occasion, like your child has a Sunday graduation, yes, your child graduates from high school or college or something on Sunday, yes. Kindergarten, unfortunately, graduates for that too. Be there. Not because it's a picnic, party, or some sort of sporting event. And the third reason is the job. The job has done more damage. I've seen the job do more damage here at Word of Life than I think probably anything else. It's just pull people away. There's a J. There's a word beginning with J that is Lord and it's not Jesus. It's the job. I repeat. If you missed your job, as much as you miss church, you would probably be fired. You probably would not have a job. Legitimate reasons, momentous family events, funerals, somebody in the hospital, graduation. Something like that. Something that happens once in a great while. A momentous. They don't happen but once in a while. Not enough if you've been missing over 50 times per year. And of course, being sick. That goes without saying. It's just so debilitating. Yeah, I've had until my surgery started in the last 5 years. Five surgeries in the last 7 years, something like that. 5 years. Before that started, do you think I had sniffles and a little sore throat thing during the first 16, 17 years where I didn't miss not one time that I can remember for sickness and disease? Sure, I did. Came on. But I want to be here. Here's another thing. Thank you, Lord. You hold me to a standard. We expect you to be here. As in Hebrews 11:25 says, pastors forsake not the assembly. It does not say pastors. It's the body. You hold me, God holds you like you hold me. He's where he's supposed to be, he's the pastor. But God is saying, you're supposed to be here because I told you. Yes, sir. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah, you want to hold me? But God is holding you like you're holding me. Just meditate on that. I say, God is holding you. God is holding you. He gave the command. He gave the assembling not to forsake not. And I'm going to tell you something. You want a legitimate reason not to come to church that God did not accept? Do you know why? You probably do if you think about the history of what was going on at the time. I've told you several times over the last 22 years. The reason he had to exhort them, the writer of Hebrews, we're not sure who wrote it. There's some conflict. Yeah, well, that's a description, but this is disagreement about who wrote it. So whoever the writer of Hebrews was, you know what was going on? Nero was barbecuing Christians. I told you that. Mm-hmm. He was throwing them to the dogs. Going to their houses, pulling people out. Killing them on the spot. The population of Christians was decreasing right before their eyes. The Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul, through the writer of Hebrews, still said, forsake not the assembly. That's a legitimate reason not to come. And he still told them, don't stop coming to church. Oh, my Lord, if that don't crush your toes, then I don't know, I question your salvation. were being killed. They were scared. That's why he talks about faith and hope so much. Don't lose hope. Don't stop your faith. And don't neglect coming together. But he said, come even more. Wow. Not come less, because you might get killed. He said, come more. And do it even more. As you see the day of Christ Jesus approaching. You got to realize that because some of you were steady for years. Years and years. But you got to realize you can't build a bank of days. I've been all this time, so let me now, I have the right to miss days for frivolous reasons because I've been all these days. That's broken thinking. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. Building a bank of days does not mean you can now miss for frivolous reasons. Luke, please, chapter 14. Luke 14. Verse 16. I expected to be real quiet. I was already ready for it. You could hear a mouse on carpet walking up in here. Talking about a church mouse on carpet. Luke 14, verse 16. Luke 14, verse 16. Miss Denise, you got it? Miss Cologne?
Yeah.
Okay. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. That's how I feel every Sunday and Wednesday. I'm like, come. Everything is now ready. Me and the Lord together have teamed up and have prepared a feast called the Word of God. Come. It's ready. Verse 18. And they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I brought a field. I must go and see it. I just got to go look at the field I just brought. Please have me excused. That could be your job. It could be symbolic of whatever. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen and I got to go and examine them. I got some animals. Go examine them. He's having an excuse. Another said, I'm married. I just married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Like, no excuses. I'm just married. So you know I can't come. But we're laughing. I'm glad we kind of are because we've been real, real strong up here. But realize that's what you're doing. You just think, okay, and you're fine with it. That's why the Lord got to teach this kind of hard and shake you. It's the moment of confusion, 1971 temptations. Hey, Buka Luka, can you hear me talking to you? Have we just kind of gone into this trance of making frivolous excuses, and we're fine with it. And it just increases and increases and increases. Yes, to where I'm thinking, I married a wife. And therefore, I can't come. But that's what you're doing when you make those frivolous excuses and say, and therefore, I'm not going. It's the same thing. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, blind, and the lame. Servant says, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and there's still room. The master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be full. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, I'm not that last part. I'm going to say that's a threat. That's just how the parable ended. But I think you get the point. Same concept. And look what happens as he just flows right on to the next thing. I don't know if we catch that. Just because he got verse 25 there, it's still the same sermon, same talk, right at the same time. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them. So he's still talking. And verse 26 says, if anyone does not hate his own father, mother, sister, brother, wife, and even his own self, he cannot be my disciple. What does he launch right into? absolute allegiance and obedience and pledging to him.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's right into that. Because he's not first. When you miss that often at a church that's legitimately teaching the word of God, he's not first. By your action, you're saying to God, you're not first. We don't hate other things more than that. In other words, remember it's comparative. We're not loving him more than everything else.
Yes, sir.
So when he gives all his excuses, he tells them why? Because I'm not first. You're loving your animals more. You're loving your wife more. You're loving your land more. Or in our case, our job more. Our family more. When he says in verse 26, family, the first thing he mentions particularly, because he knows that has a lot of pull. He don't hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Got to put family down here when it comes to Jesus. Put your job down here when it comes to Jesus. Put your feelings down here when it comes to Jesus. After all, he put his feelings down here when it came to us. We owe him that. He talks about all the excuses and then gives a reason why. Because I'm not number one.
Yes, sir.
We sang two songs today. And as I know I want to preach this sermon, I said, listen to us singing this song. Worthy one, and he's worthy. Is he worthy? We're saying no. We're just singing songs. Let us not love in. Say it again. In word, this is word, but in deed, action, and in truth. When I was younger, we used to go to church four times a week. Twice on Sunday and two on Tuesday and Thursday. Years. I think by having a service some years ago, I said, but they were likely not going to come. Want to add one. You say one thing, I'm with them lips, far, hearts far from me. You got action. Is the word really that valuable? Is he really that valuable? Or are we making excuses? Let's close on Revelation chapter 2. This is what I believe has happened to Word of Life as a whole, to an overwhelming majority as a whole. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. All right. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. That's all of the positives. Verse 4. But I have this against you. It's what I feel to a certain extent about Word of Life, that you've abandoned the love you had at first. That's what I believe. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. When Word of Life first started, we should have folks coming in on Wednesday and Sunday. They were there faithfully. Faithfully, Sunday and Wednesday. We abandon our first love. And if you want to take the word abandon as it is, then you may say, well, I've been abandoned. Yeah, but it's lessened. Remember, because your actions show that. He said, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the work you did at first. Notice I'm not going to read the last part because I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that that applies to you, but I guess I will because I don't know. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. I don't know, but I will say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living, angry God. I so don't want a chance, so I better read it. This is serious business. And I know you didn't know that. Because I'm going to put the best construction on it. There's no way you understood all of this fully and then just missed church. There's no way. You had to be ignorant. You had to not fully. You know, man, I didn't realize it was that deep. Yes, I got to give you that. Because the alternative is terrible. You fully, I know all of that. I ain't coming. I refuse to believe that. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that. You just didn't get it. Yes, we're like, we're here on Wednesday. Yes, we're here on Wednesday. Rain or shine. Rain or shine. We're here on Wednesday. And for most of you, we're here on Sunday. This is no joke. God is, we've read his word. This is clearly a case of just slipping on in the darkness, slowly but surely. And not even realize it was even going on. That's why shepherds are so important. And I'm telling you, follow my example. Before God, you are just as responsible for attending church just as I am. Before God. I'm here. And don't say because he's the pastor, you ought to be here. You ought to be here too. I'm here. Follow my lead. If you are here all the time and you go on a vacation or something like that, no biggie. But if you're missing a whole lot and then a legitimate reason comes up, that's yet another miss. And those reasons are legitimate. You're being fed. You're being equipped. God has set it up this way so that you can minister to one another. These are reasons that are legitimate. You can't just blow that off. You can, but you shouldn't. Retool your thinking. Renovate your mind.
Renew,
yes, sir. You say, no, I'm just ain't going to go. So a yes is a command, but you really stay on that point. But it's to be equipped, it's to be taught, it's to serve one another, as well as worship corporately, as being refreshed. Father God, I hope that your word was received today. And it's not about anyone saying to me, you, Father, saying it to anyone, I'm going to do better. I pray they'll just do better. In deed, in action, not in word. I remember a story, Father, of a rough sermon that was taught in a particular place, and the person came up and says, "You know, I'm going to do or something like that. Something I'm going to do this. And he said, "Just go home and live it. You don't have to tell me anything." That's what I'm hoping, Father. That there's a change, not to please me, or even themselves, but to please you, to your glory. Not unto us, not unto us, but to you, O Lord, be all the glory. For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory and the majesty forever and ever. Amen.